Amen. We are going to take a journey. I am not going to be in a hurry. That doesn't mean I'm going to necessarily preach long, because I'm going to preach this whole entire book, of Colossians. But we're going to go verse by verse, and we're going to talk about the book of Colossians and some of the powerful things therein. Amen. Now, how much more does that got? A couple more inches? All right. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. So what I'm going to do, you know what? I'm going to let you be seated. I'm going to let you be seated right now. I'm going to do something totally different that y'all are going to think I'm crazy. But I'm going to play for you. I've got the Bible on my phone, and I'm going to play for you the first chapter of the Bible program that I have, and it's going to read for us the entire chapter. Then we're going to go back over it verse by verse. Can we do that?
Yeah.
Just a little bit of something different. I thought about doing it this morning, and I have listened to this chapter, this first book, entire book of Colossians, but the first chapter. Even this morning, I've listened to it 5 times, and I've got a little bit something out of it every time. And that's why I say I'm not going to be in a hurry. There's so much here in the Word of God that we can glean, and I want us to glean all that we can get. Let me stop right here for just one more second and say this. Brother Derek said something today, and in his exhortation at the very end, the scripture said, "And they saw a lamb slain, as if slain." The verbiage was "as if slain." As if slain. Didn't say he was slain, although we know that lamb was slain. But it was as if he was slain, because that lamb has been risen again, Christ Jesus. So when he saw that lamb as if slain, he already saw the beginning from the end, and he saw him sitting there that had taken away the sins of the world. And though that lamb was slain, he said, "I see him resurrected. I see him alive forevermore. I do see him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." Amen. That is a revelation in and of itself. Amen. Amen. So let's listen here to the word of the Lord. Amen. All right. So that's chapter number one. So as we go along in the word of God here, it's a little bit quicker if I put it that way, too. We look here at the Church of Colossae. Colossae was one of 3 cities located about 100 miles inland of Ephesus. The other 2 cities that were nearby were Hippopolis, I guess that's how you say it, Hippopolis, and Laodicea. It was a wealthy, cosmopolitan, metropolitan area, and there were all kinds of religions and philosophies that were represented there. There was even a very large Jewish colony right there in Colossae. It was a fertile breeding ground for heresy. And so I'm going to lay down some foundation here to get into the Word of God, some things that you may not have known, and you may not really have taken the time to study, and that's why I'm going to preach in this manner, or teach in this manner, so we can get to the fullness of the book here. But Colossae never would have been mentioned in the New Testament had it not been for a powerful apostolic presence. If it had not been for the church, Colossae would not have been in the book. I am amazed, for even as we go along in the book of Colossians there, it even talks about the city of Laodicea, and even the letter that was written to Laodicea but we don't have the letter. It's interesting to see and to understand that Colossians made it, but the letter somewhere to the Laodicean church, right next door to Colossae. If you look at a map, you'll see Hierapolis, Laodicea, and Colossae. All three cities are right there close to each other. It was like three cities that pretty much intermingled together. Paul did not start this church at Colossae, and he never even visited. He never physically went to the church at Colossae. But he had heard of their faith, as he mentions here in verse number 4 and in verse number 9. This church was, though, a direct product of his ministry in Ephesus, which was at about 100 miles to the west of where they were at. There was such a powerful move of God in Ephesus that it had impacted the whole region. For the scripture even talks about later on, and we'll get into it maybe a little bit later, that it was for 2 years that the gospel went forth out of Ephesus, and it reached all of Asia. So we're talking about a powerful move of the Spirit of God happening at the epicenter of Ephesus. If you get a map out, and which if I had the ability today, which I'm wanting to do, and as soon as Brother Jonathan gets here full time, we're going to get these screens set up and everything, and I will show you the map just to give you a little bit better understanding of where everything is, and to show you how large and how vast the gospel reached out to all of Asia in a span of 2 years from Paul's ministry in Ephesus. But as we go along, this church, again, was the product of Paul's ministry. And I want to, in studying and reading and looking at this, I pray that we have a move of God's Spirit Ephesus. We talk a lot about the book of Acts and there in Jerusalem, but their inconsistency with the Word of God, as powerful as the book of Acts was, we see the powerful move of God happen in Colossae. We see the powerful move of God happen in the church of Thessalonica, and so on and so forth. And we are not there at the book of Acts. We are not there in Colossae. We are not there in Thessalonica. We are not there in Ephesus. We are not there in Galatia. But we are in Sparks, Nevada. And we do have the same Word of God. And we do have the same Spirit. And we do have the same anointing. And we do have the same power that they all did. And we can impact all region. And we can impact all of Northern Nevada. And we can impact the regions round about us with the same power, with the same anointing. Amen. Sometimes we feel like it's just for those, and we read it, and we think about the power of the Holy Ghost as it was enacted upon those men and those women, and how it affected their region. There's no reason why it shouldn't happen for us in Sparks. There's no reason why we shouldn't impact everything and everywhere that we go here in this city.
Amen.
There ought to be a presence in Fernley.
Yes.
There ought to be a presence in Fallon.
Yes.
And in Winnemucca.
Yes.
And in Elko.
Yes. Yes.
And in Ely.
Yes.
Yes. And I pray for the poor person who gets called to Tonopah. Hey, I'm telling you, I believe that this gospel can impact our region in a phenomenal way.
Yes.
But it is up to us to be full of the Holy Ghost and let God use us and anoint us to do so.
Yes.
Amen. Acts chapter 19, if we go there quickly, I want to read verse 1 through 7. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast of Ephesus, finding certain disciples, he said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" What am I doing here today? I'm showing you the beginning of this journey to the city of Colossae. This is where it all began. Paul was traveling and he got to Ephesus. He said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." And he said unto them, "Unto what thing were ye baptized?" And they said unto John's baptism. Thank God for John preaching and preparing the way of the Lord. Well, there may be somebody that's already been through a city, and somebody may want to say, "Oh, that's burnt over ground. Oh, there's no hope for there. Something's already been tried." Amen. But I'm going to tell you today that John went everywhere preaching and preparing the way of the Lord. Then somebody, woo, hallelujah, to the Holy Ghost. Somebody else came along and started preaching the gospel, and bam, it happened under the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost. So don't ever say, "Well, that's conflicting ground. That's burned over territory. There's no hope for that." I'm telling you, there's hope. John verily baptized with baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They said, "All right, we got to get baptized in Jesus' name. We did it unto repentance. We did it in John's way." Amen. And that's why Brother Derwin's getting baptized this morning. He said, "Well, I've been baptized in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but I realize that Father and Son and Holy Ghost are the main." It's got to be another name that is above every other name. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are coming in. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they received, or they spake with tongues and prophesied. Hey, friend, they didn't just speak in tongues. And let me tell some of you today, you need to get the Holy Ghost so burning down in your spirit that you begin to prophesy. And you said, "Well, I'm not a preacher. That ain't what it's talking about. He's talking about declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ." If you got the Holy Ghost, you ought to be prophesying. You ought to be telling everybody about the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, and how he saves, and how he delivers, and how he heals. How he left your soul and then to drag you out. Come on, get a hell. It's time for somebody to prophesy in this place, and not just speak in tongues, but get so full of the Holy Ghost that you prophesy everywhere you go. This may not be popular preaching to some, and they may say, "Oh, you're getting on scary ground because you're calling people to the ministry." I ain't calling nobody to the ministry. I'm calling you to do what God called you to do. Be a witness to all. Be a witness to all the world. Jesus, help me Lord, to speak your word. That when Paul had laid his hands, I believe
that we need to be so full of the Holy Ghost that when revelation comes to somebody, I don't care if it's in the grocery store, on the lakeside, in the parking lot, that we lay our hands on them and God fills them with the Holy Ghost. If we're going to really be apostolic, we need to start acting like apostolics. I said, if we're going to really proclaim to be apostolic, we need to start having the actions of apostolics. Amen. That it doesn't matter if it's a convenient time or the right place. Because God don't care about time and He don't care about the right place. But He's interested in saving every soul. He's interested in healing all humanity. He's interested in dragging that out of the pits of hell. Amen. At Walmart. That may mean you're at the gas station pumping gas. Because God don't care.
Right.
Sometimes we care. Well, most of all the time we care. And we think, oh, just come to church so you can be healed. Come to church so you can be filled. Come to church. No, we got to take this gospel to them because some of them will never come here. So we got to go to them. And we're only going to do that through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Verse 7, amen. It said, and all men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue.
I got to drink something.
Clap your hands unto the Lord. To the synagogue, and he spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of the one Tyrannus. Verse 10, and this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they that dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Let me remind of souls harder that Paul is not somebody that is far beyond who we are. Amen. Sometimes we see him and we think of him as a role model of somebody to be like. That's good and proper. But let me remind you that you have the same Holy Ghost.
Yeah, right.
That you have the same Holy Ghost that Paul did. You have the same Holy Ghost that Paul did. And God is no respecter of persons. I said God is no respecter of persons. He is a respecter of our desire. He is a respecter of our will to do His will, to search, seek after Him, and to follow after Him. God is a respecter there.
Yes.
But you have the same Holy Ghost. Oh, I wish I could be like this. I wish that you can be like that. You can. You can. You. Oh, I wish I could lay my hands on somebody. You can lay your hands on somebody and they be healed. You can lay your hands on the dead and they raise again. You can lay your hands on them and God fill them with the Holy Ghost. God is giving you that authority. I'm preaching the will of heaven right now. That we are not scared, we are not intimidated, we are not full of doubt and fear, but we come out bold as a lion in prayer and with the grace of God that we seek those that need salvation.
Hallelujah.
In the scripture here, let me slow down and quit preaching and start. Praise God. There is a man that is mentioned here, and is not mentioned in a great degree. And there's a man that almost is a no name, but what a powerful work that he wrought. And that is the man by the name of Epaphras. Epaphras was mentioned in verse number 7, and also again in chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Epaphras was one of Paul's converts in the city of Ephesus. And he returns home, and he starts the church in Colossae. So he also ministered in the other cities, Hierapolis and Laodicea, because they were there right close. And here is this young man, really a new convert. I'm getting tired of the thought and the ideology that we accepted as gospel truth, that you have to live for God for such a certain amount of time in order to minister this gospel, in order to speak of this gospel. I'm going to tell you, that is a lie from the pit of hell that wants to prevent the gospel from going further. Oh, hallelujah. We got to be concerned about false doctrine. I understand that. But something got to get a hold of us that says, hey, I'm never going to be an accomplished speaker. I'm never going to be something, but I can speak the gospel. I can tell somebody about the glory, about the wonder, about the incredible Almighty God. Over and over again, that I can't say it. I can't do it like that. I can, and you gotta get rid of that mentality and understand you have the Holy Ghost. Use it like God intended it to be used. But what if I make a mistake? So what? What if I say the wrong thing? So what? We'll deal with it. Say something. Come on, somebody. Say something. Tell somebody. You may not have it all, but my Bible tells me for you just to open up your mouth and God will put words in it. So I don't know how to say it. You don't need to know how to say it. The Holy Ghost will put the words in your mouth when it's time to speak. So when you feel prompted of the Spirit to say something to that individual, go up there and say, hi. And then say, help me, Jesus. Do it right now. You never know. Sister Annabelle, has it happened to you? Yeah, it's happened to you. I know it's happened to Sister Sister Marcella, sorry. My brain just went bleep. Sister Marcella, these are just a couple that just came to my mind real quick. Where there has been times when we didn't know what to say. Has it happened to you? Had it happened to you? It's given you times before where you say, oh, I don't really know what to say. And then all of a sudden words just start tumbling out of your mouth. And you walk away from that situation. And you go, did I say that? Did I open my mouth and just say those things? And you say, well, I don't know my Bible well enough. I don't know what the Bible says well enough. And you open your mouth and all of a sudden scripture starts falling out. And you say, well, I don't know scripture or chapter and verse, but all of a sudden scripture starts falling out of your mouth. And you start telling them, this is what the word said, blah, 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 blah. And you walk away and go, oh my Lord, what did I just say? Was that really in the Bible? Was it? Because the Holy Ghost. Man, I wish some of us would get revelation of this right now and understand that the power of the Holy Ghost that is in residing in each one of us will be the words in your mouth when you need to speak.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Where'd that teaching go?
Yeah. All right. Come on.
Man.
Very good.
When that false doctrine started to threaten this young church, remember, it's somewhere in there. It's only about somewhere in that time frame of 2 years. Because it's a young church Because somewhere in that 2 years, that in Ephesus, it started to outgrow, and he was in that region for 2 years, and it began to overtake all of Asia. I don't know when exactly it was, but just think about it. In the space of 2 years or less, something happened to a city that got a hold of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it turned the cities upside down.
Right.
And Epaphras, one young man that just got one young man that just gets converted, that doesn't know a whole lot, that gets baptized in Jesus' name, that gets filled with the Holy Ghost, that doesn't know all the ins and outs, gets a hold of something, and begins to stir, and begins to move, and begins to change an entire region. And we go, no, you ain't got enough experience. Sit down. You can't do this. And you, no.
Yes.
We put these man-made stipulations on everybody. You got to have this much experience. You got to have this much. I'm going to tell you, when God called me to this church, I made so many stupid mistakes. Think, my Lord, have mercy. Why in the world would God ever put a 26-year-old in this place, in this position, with all of this going on, blah, 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 blah.
All right.
It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
He should have at least lived another 20 years before I ever did that. And I still don't feel adequate. But you know what? I don't need to feel adequate. I need to make him adequate in my life. I just need to be a vessel. It's not of me. It's not of my smarts. It's not of my ability. It's not of my... nothing of me. I just got to be a vessel. And it doesn't matter how old. It doesn't matter what my situation is. I just got to be a vessel that God can use.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So, this church is young. It's vibrant. It's excited. But it's got some issues. Woo! I'm glad for that.
Yes.
You know what? No people, no problems.
Right.
A few people, a few problems. A whole bunch of people, a whole bunch of problems.
Right.
Who cares? I'd rather have a whole bunch of problems than no people and no problems.
Right.
I'd take that any day. And you think you got to be crazy. You know what? No, I'd rather have to deal with what Paul was dealing with. The false doctrine. I'd rather have to deal with this young man going to Elko, and this young man going to Fernley, and this young man going to Fallon, and having to say, hey, don't, hey, careful, don't do that. Don't say, hey, keep doing this. Hey, son, hey, I'd rather have to lead and guide these young men than they sit here on these pews and rot and not do anything for God. I'd rather have to say, hey, son, be careful when you say, when you do, as he's out witnessing on the street corner. I'd rather have to say, hey, be careful with this. Don't go here to stay within these boundaries when he's at the nursing home.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. 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 Yes. Yes, sir. Amen. I'd rather have to deal with those type of problems. Of somebody exercising their faith and maybe stepping out a little bit outside of that. Because you see, I understand that exercising your faith has to do with the human element too.
Yeah,
that's right. Oh, yeah. Just like some of us that God's called us to be used in tongues and interpretation and you're not exercising it. It takes some faith, but it does take a part of a human element to step out in faith and say, okay, God, I'm going to do it. Even if I make a mistake, and some of you, you know you have made a mistake, and how have I dealt with you? I ain't beat you up. I've taken you aside. I've talked to you. I've instructed you. Hey, it's okay. I'd rather make 10,000 mistakes reaching out for the things of God than you sitting there sucking your thumb and writing on a pew with God's gospel. That's got to be propagated. He's visiting Paul. Paul is in jail. In that time, because Paul was a Roman and all that kind of stuff, he couldn't be put in the regular prison, so they put him in a house. And more than likely, some theologians and so on and so forth say that in that time, because he was a Roman citizen, they couldn't put him in certain places, so on and so forth. And so they locked him up to a Roman soldier. But he had the privilege of people coming and visiting him. He had certain freedoms that regular prisoners didn't. But he was basically in prison. So Epaphras comes, and he sits down. Come here, Paul. Sit over there. So Paul's over there, and he's in prison. Come here, jailer. Hold on to his arm. Or not his hand, but his wrist. Hold on. Yeah, that's better. You don't want to hold on to his hand. And after first comes, he said, Paul, you know, I need some help. I got some situations, and we're dealing with some things in the church. There's some heresy going on. There's some blending going on. That these people believe in Jesus, but they're also believing in Eastern philosophy. They're also believing in Latter-day Judaism. But yet they want Jesus. They see the power of the Holy Ghost, but yet they want some of the things of the past. And they still believe in this other Eastern religion. And not only that, Paul, that Gnosticism is becoming a great deal. They're depending upon their own knowledge. They're depending upon their own wisdom. And they're not really seeking after God.
Yeah.
And so here's Epaphras telling Paul, help me. What do I do? So Paul gets out a pen and paper, and he begins to write the letter to the book to the people of Colossae. He writes a letter to the church. Are you getting the picture how this is done? Maybe you've not seen it or thought of it like this. Thank you. Maybe you've not seen it or thought of it like this, but this is what's happening. This young man, he's at his wit's end. He hears stuff that's going on in the church. He says, I need some help in how to combat this false doctrine or this blending of many multi-religions. What that heresy there in the Colossian church was simply a blended message. It had Christianity, it had Jewish legalism, it had Eastern philosophy and Gnosticism. Gnostics believe that you had to have a special knowledge to be accepted by God, and that Christ was not enough in and of himself. And so they were blending all of these things. Hey. You say, wow, that was something back then. It's the same thing we've got going on today. I said, it's the same thing that we got going on today. We've got all types of religions trying to put this in and put that in. And even in apostolic Pentecostal ranks, they're bringing in this ideology and that ideology and going with the flow and not sticking to the Word of God.
Right.
For the fear of the people.
Right.
For the fear of losing congregation.
Yep.
But I'm here to tell you, if that Bible is my example.
Come on.
Yeah. If that Bible is my example, this truth will prevail regardless. This truth will prevail regardless of what may come. teachers would not outright deny the importance of Jesus Christ. They just dethroned him. They just took him off the throne. Jesus, heal that arm in Jesus' name.
Yes, that's right.
They would just take him off the throne. They wouldn't. I want you to notice he's going to use some verbiage like this, and I'm going to use the same verbiage that Paul did. Paul's a phenomenal writer. When you really sit back and you start to dissect everything that he said, everything with almost every word was with purpose. And yet, how many times do we read our Bible and just to mark it off on our chart? I'm not downing that. Don't get me wrong. Matter of fact, I give major kudos to Brother Alfred. He's already on the second time reading his Bible all the way through.
Yeah,
good job, Brother Alfred. Yeah. Maybe somebody else is too. Anybody else on their second time? Sister Sue, kudos to you too. Second time through on their Bible reading. That's awesome. Thank God. And those of us that are still on their first time through but way behind, you're done. I will tell you, I don't want to just be marking time. But yet at the same time, don't neglect it in just Bible reading. But I want us to understand that every phrase, every word, and sometimes we've taken it so for granted. Because, and you know what? And what happens? Because we as apostolics have heard so much preaching and so much of the word that we really take for granted every detail. But God, that's why God said, hey, there's things there in that word that you just only thought that you seen. You only thought that you knew. Now, and that's no reflection on Brother Derek again, but he made that statement when he walked by, so you may see me stop him and say, did you catch that? And I said to him, did you catch that? As if. And he goes, yeah. And he walked back and he read it again. And then that's when he came back to me. So he may know that he came back to me. He goes, Pastor, I got that. I just got that. I just got that. And you can see through that example that each and every one of us still don't have a complete understanding of every detail of the Word of God. And that's why we got to have preaching over. And that's why you got to read your Bible over. And that's why it can never be mundane and just another book on the shelf collecting dust. But my God, have mercy. There is so much in there for us to glean. If we